So I want to speak about Lag BoMer. It would be inappropriate to go through the day without discussing it and connecting to it and having a better appreciation of the tremendous, I say tremendous, tremendous, tremendous significance of this day. And it's never ceases to amaze me. The more you learn, the more you discover, the more inspired you become. That's always the case. And it never ends. There's so much more to learn. So when we look back, when we think, well, and the connection, first of all, to the parasha, we're going to make sure there's a connection to the parasha. Parasha's Emor. So our connection to the parasha is purely the fact that the end of the parasha discusses the Yom Tovim, the holidays, the Yom Tovim. And in that section is also the mitzvah of counting the Omer, of counting the days between Pesach and Shavuos. Right. So there's our connection. And today is the 33rd day of the Omer. And that's our connection to the parasha. But what happened, though, on Lag BaOmer? What are the different things? What are the different events which have happened in history on Lag BaOmer? So some of them we're all familiar with. Others maybe less familiar with. But one of them is the fact that this is the day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rashbi, Shimon Bar Yochai, passed away. He was the great sage of the Talmudic period, student of Rabbi Akiva, and he passed away on Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer. Also, I saw one of the Sfarim, Bnei Yisoscha, says that it's also logical to assume that he also was born on Lag BaOmer as well. Wow. Because tzaddikim, there's a tradition, there's a concept that tzaddikim fulfilled their days. They filled their days, and therefore, whatever day they passed away upon, that's the day they were born upon as well, indicating and showing the completion of a person's life, a wholeness of a person's life. So he passed away, and he was born on Lag BaOmer. The more famous, or the very, very famous aspect of his passing away was the revelation of the Zohar. The Zohar, which is the primary text of Kabbalistic tradition, the mystical tradition, and he passed away. And he went on the day that he passed away, which is almost ironic. That was the day upon when all the great secrets of the Zohar were finally revealed. He had them before that, but they were exposed and revealed to the world on Lag BaOmer. I want to read to you a translation of a section of the Zohar which relates the day that he passed away. It says as follows: We have learned on the day that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was to depart the world, he began arranging all of his teachings. Tzaddikim of the stature of Rav Shimon know when they have fulfilled their tasks in this world and when they are to pass on to the world of truth. They therefore begin preparing themselves for the transition. A tzaddik prepares himself for the transition. So this is what he was doing. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was preparing himself for the ultimate journey. So the disciples of Rav Shimon found out that he was making his final arrangements, and they all gathered around together at the house of Rav Shimon. Before him were Rav Elazar, his son, Rav Abba, and the other disciples. So the house was filled. Then fire surrounded the house, so that everyone fled outside. While they were sitting, Rav Shimon opened his eyes in the sense of spiritual gazing into the higher worlds and saw what he saw. He experienced the revelation of the Shekhinah. Rav Shimon arose in deference to the Shekhinah and the souls of saintly tzaddikim that had ascended to be with him as he revealed the secrets of the Torah. Rav Shimon then said, "Now is an auspicious time to reveal the secrets of the Torah. I wish to enter the world to come without shame. For the holy matters that I did not reveal until now, I wish to reveal in the presence of the Shekhinah, so that no one will say that I left the world without fulfilling my task and that I concealed these secrets in my heart. Until now, so that they would come with me to the world to come. I will present them to you, and the Rav Abba shall write, and Rav Elazar, my son, will review them, and the remaining disciples must whisper them in their hearts," indicating the concept that these are mystical truths which have to be kept, you know, quiet and only among those who are really learned. The dead do not praise God. Rav Abba recalls, that Rabbi who's writing this, he says, he recalls, "I was writing. In middle of quoting a verse, Rav Shimon stopped at the word Chayim. I waited, wanting to continue, but did not raise my head to see why Rav Shimon had stopped, for I was unable to look at the great light that was shining around him. Suddenly I heard a voice call out a verse with the word Chayim, and then another voice called out an additional verse. I fell to the ground and wept. When the fire and the light departed, I saw that the great light, Rav Shimon, had passed away. He was lying on his right side and his face was smiling." This was the day of his passing away from this world into the next world. The light of the Zohar came to the fore on the day of his passing. And the word Zohar means radiance and light. And he revealed, this is what he revealed in the day of his passing. And that's what makes this day also very, very special. This is the day of light. This is the day that the mystical truths of the Zohar were revealed to the world. So that's three things. He passed away on this day. He was born on this day. Revelation of the Zohar on this day. Another thing, which is probably less known, less well known, but the manna, the man, which the Jewish people had when they were traveling in the desert, the man began to fall on Lag BaOmer. This is brought down by the Chasam Sofer. He says, he makes a calculation that Lag BaOmer is when the man began to fall. So says the Chasam Sofer. Okay, that's another event. It's another historical event. Another aspect of Lag BaOmer, if you make a calculation, it's actually precisely 2/3 of the way through the counting of the Omer. So we're actually at the 2/3 point. We're moving into the final third. Exactly. What? Not 33 1/3. It's, you know, it, within Lag BaOmer, it's 33 1/3. So it's a 2/3 of the way in. And the final event which took place, which is very, very famous, is the cessation of the death of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. Because that's also mentioned in the Gemara that during this period, a terrible plague plagued the students of Rabbi Akiva, and 24,000 students, he had 12,000 pairs of students, 24,000 students is a remarkable number of students, and they all perished in this time period between Pesach and Shavuos, and it's a machlokas exactly what time period, but Lag BaOmer is when they stopped dying. This marks the cessation of the death of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. So these are the five events. There could be more. That's as much as I found so far. The five events, again, to review them. Shimon bar Yochai was born, actually six. Shimon bar Yochai was born and passed away, that's two. On the day of his passing, he revealed the mystical traditions of the Zohar. Number four, the man began to fall for the Jewish people in the desert after leaving Mitzrayim. Number five, it's exactly 2/3 of the way through, almost 2/3 of the way through, the counting the Yomer. And number six, the deaths due to the plague of the 24,000 students, Rabbi Akiva finally came to an end on this day. So what is the common thread? Like, what is the common thread between all of these events? What is the common thread? So it's always important to go back to the original event to find the identity, the spiritual nature of the day. You know, you want to go back to the very first time that the day is signified. So the very first event which happened in the list of things over here is that the man began to fall, right? The man began to fall. So this is discussed by Rav Gedalia Shor over here. Actually, before I mention that one, it's the he writes over here that this is the third of the three parts between Pesach and Shavuos. So really, strictly speaking, the counting of the Omer, which began right after Pesach, and the count towards Har Sinai is really the first aspect of Lag BaOmer, because it's now, as soon as Lag BaOmer arrives, it's 2/3 of the way through. So he writes over here that possibly we could say that this time period between Pesach and Shavuos, because we are preparing for the Torah, that's what we're doing, we're marching forward towards Har Sinai. You know, on Pesach, we were actually raised to the summit of Mount Sinai, on the night of Pesach, even though we don't mention Mount Sinai on the night of Pesach, but really the revelation of the Shekhinah, the divine presence, the night of Pesach, is akin, and it's a pre-experience of the revelation at Sinai, which they were going to come to when they come to Sinai. So they were given that glimpse, and we were given that glimpse on the night of Pesach. So we were lifted up to the summit. We were taken in a helicopter and raised to the summit of the mountain on the night of Pesach. And then Hashem put us down to the bottom to now tell us, now you climb up yourself. Now we have to climb up ourselves to the top of the mountain. That's the days between Pesach and Shavuos. So that mitzvah of counting the Omer is all about counting and working on ourselves to work towards that the summit of Har Sinai again. But again, we're now in the 2/3 section. So that's the Lag BaOmer is the 2/3. So he says that perhaps we could say that the period between Pesach and Shavuos corresponds to the three pillars upon which the world stands. The world stands on the pillar of chesed, of kindness, of avoda, of divine service, and Torah. These are the three pillars of the world. So if we are creating a world for ourselves, we're creating the world of Torah, so then that world has to be built upon the three pillars of Torah and chesed and kindness and avoda, divine service. And if this is the last period leading up to the last third leading up to the Har Sinai, to the revelation of the Torah, it stands to reason that this is the theme of the last period, the last third. This is the last third is already gaining the rays of the light of Shavuos. So the light of Torah is already shining back upon this last third. The first two thirds would be Chesed and Gevurah. Chesed and Avoda, those two traits. Why it's in a different order to how it says in the Mishnah, I don't know. That's what he says over here. He said the last third, the spirituality, the energy of the last third of this period is the light of Torah, because the light of Shavuos is radiating back upon this last third to already give us light at this point as well. And therefore, one thing he says over here, this is a special day for strengthening our resolve to the learning of the learning of Torah, because already the light of Torah, there's an aura chosim of Shavuos, there's a light which is radiating backwards upon this day from Shavuos. And already, and on this day, we are beginning the final climb, the final descent, or the final climb. We're beginning the final climb towards Har Sinai on Lag BaOmer. That's the significance of this day. That's one significance. And then this connects to the Mon, because the Gemara says, the Gemara is a very famous Gemara. It says, "Lo nit the Torah ela le'ochle yomon." The Torah was given only to those people who ate mon. The Torah had to be given to people who are so spiritual and cleansed of the earthly physical food, of regular food. And that's why Hashem gave us, one of the reasons why Hashem gave us the mon is in order to have spiritual food inside of our system, in readiness for the Torah. And on this day, we're getting ready to receive the Torah on this day. So therefore, this is the day that we began eating mon, right? We began eating mon on this day. Moshe, the Gemara says in Yuma, the Gemara says that Moshe, one of the reasons why the cloud, after Moshe gave, after Hashem uttered the Aseret Dibros, the Ten Commandments, the Jewish people, Har Sinai, then Moshe went up back up to the mountain to receive the Torah. So the Gemara mentions over there that there was the cloud descended upon the mountain for 6 or 7 days. It descended before he was allowed to go into the cloud and go and receive the Torah. One of the reasons the Gemara gives is in order to purge his innards of the physical food. Mm-hmm. That was the purpose of the cloud. So the concept of being purged and cleansed in readiness for the Torah begins on Lag BaOmer. We're beginning the journey. We're beginning, you know, the ascent, or we're beginning to land on the Har Sinai, and it's beginning today. And therefore, this day is a very propitious for strengthening ourselves and dedicating ourselves to the learning of Torah. That's one idea. But if you think about it, what is Torah? What is Torah? What does the word Torah mean? So it means instruction, but another meaning of the word Torah is also light, right? Torah is light. Torah, or the light of Torah. Mm. The real, you know, when I say the real, but a major dimension of our appreciation of what the Torah is, it's light. It's illuminating. It radiates our life. That's the purpose of Torah, to give life and light to our lives. That's Torah. So light, there is a revelation of light on this day, right? The Torah is beginning to shine on this day. Mm. And therefore, it's completely consistent and logical that there's another episode of light emanating on this day, which was in the future with Shimba Yochai, that the light of the Zohar, the radiance of the Zohar, was also revealed on this day as well. Therefore, the light of the Zohar is also given, light of his Torah was also given on this day as well. It's a day of light. It's a day of pure light. That's what's happening on this day. So that's that. So we've now covered Shimba Yochai, and also, it's interesting, even his passing away. I mean, that's also, it's also part of the revelation of light, because now he's going up into the world of pure truth, where there's only light. So his neshama is being given life, light on this day. But he's born on this day, and his teachings are also revealed on this day as well. And that's why, so this is the day of revelation of light. But that only takes care of the light which shines down upon us on Lag BaOmer, that there's a revelation of light in terms of the Torah beginning to be given on this day, and the Zohar as well. But we go back to the deaths of the students of Rabbi Akiva. So how does that fit into this? So the Gemara says the reason why they suffered the plague of dying, a terrible thing, because they were not nohei kavod zeh bezeh. They did not conduct themselves with dignity and respect for each other. Mm. The Gemara identifies that as being the cause of their calamity, that they didn't respect each other. They lacked in their kavod. But that plague ended on Lag BaOmer, which indicates that that ill which they suffered from, the lack of respect, the lack of covet they have for each other, that finally came to an end on this day. And if you think about it, it's exactly the same thing as the idea of what this day is all about revelation of light. Because how do you respect other people? What is the way to respect other people? How do you respect somebody? The only way to respect somebody is by seeing the light inside, and seeing their virtue, and seeing their goodness inside of them. If all I see of you is your flaws and your failings and your shortcomings, I'm not going to have any covet for you. Covet is predicated upon seeing the virtue and the light and the dignity and the shine inside the other person. It's seeing the neshama in another person. If a person can't see the light and the dignity and the goodness in another person, they can't have covet. So if this day is a day of revelation of light, that the light is being revealed in the world to us, so then also it's propitious, and it's the time for also working on our covet for other people as well, to see the light in other people. This book over here I have is called it's called Sviras. It's a very well-written book. It's a simple, very easy to understand book on the Sviras, which is a good companion for the days between Pesach and Shavuos. And he goes through all of the different Sviras. And we're doing this on Sunday mornings in a much deeper level with Tomah Devorah, but this is a little bit more of an accessible explanation of all the different Sviras. So today's Sephira, today's trait is called Hod Shebahod, beauty within beauty, right? The word Hod, we didn't translate this on Sunday when he gave the class on Sunday. The word Hod now I'll give a translation. Those who come to the class on Sunday morning will understand what I'm referring to. But the word Hod is beauty. It means beauty. So the trait, the Sephira, or the Midah of today, because the days between Pesach and Shavuos always carry two midos, two of the spheres with them, all different permutations and combinations. So today's trait is Hod Shebahod, beauty within beauty. So this, the author of this book over here, Yaakov Haber, writes, today is the Yortzeit of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, author of the Zohar, passed away on this day. And he mentions the fact that the students of Rabbi Akiva, they died before this, and that death now was suspended on this day. And the Talmud teaches that the students did not treat each other with the proper respect and honor and were punished with the death of this plague. This is the day that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai revealed the hidden Kabbalistic secrets of the Torah to the world. This is therefore the day to find the good in others and to gain a new respect for people in your life. That's the mess. That's the theme of the day. And therefore he goes through over here to talk about three action points about how to put this into practice to be able to see the light and the goodness in all of the world around us, whether it be with Hashem, I read what he says, search for the hidden insight into something in the Torah, which goes back to the fact that today is a day for strengthening ourselves in the Torah. Deepen your understanding and share it with a friend. There's a custom not to buy new clothes during Sefiras HaOmer out of respect for Rabbi Akiva students who died. However, they didn't die on this day, and it is permitted to buy new things. This is a bracha to be set on. There is a bracha to be set on purchasing a new item of clothing. Shehachiyanu, kept us alive. If you have the opportunity to say this bracha today, concentrate on its meaning. But it's part of appreciating God, seeing the goodness of God in our world. That's number one. Number two, other people. Ben on lechaveira. Moshe Rabbeinu's brother Aaron was the representative of Hod. Become his student. Treat others with respect and honor. Take a step in creating and beautifying the community. And then he says, finally, with yourself, because these are the three relationships. He goes through the entire book, tracking the three relationships which we experience in life, our relationship with Hashem, our relationship with other people, and our relationship with ourselves as well. That's also a relationship which needs attendance. And the relationship with ourselves, towards ourselves internally, is try not to wear anything ostentatious today. Dress for approachability and friendship. That's just his suggestion over here. Whatever you want. But I'm trying to figure this out, how this is consistent with seeing the good in yourself. Try not to wear anything ostentatious today. Dress for approachability and friendship. I don't see the connection with that. Maybe I would say, if I would have the permission to say this, my idea for this would be, is to see the good in yourself, right? To focus on your virtues. Don't get hung up with the mistakes, and don't get down on yourself. Focus on your virtues and your successes. Don't focus on your failures. But this is another one?
Well, no, just the idea that if you're dressing ostentatiously, you're creating a barrier between you and other people. Like,
oh, I see.
I'm too fancy for you to talk to.
Right. Oh, I see. Okay, good. Okay, that's very good as well. Right. So by us, it's an important thing because, you know, I was thinking to myself that, you know, having Hashem reveal Himself in our lives, which is really what this day is all about. It's a revelation. The revelation of the Torah, the beginning of the Torah is being revealed on this day. It's the preparation with the Mon. It's the revelation of the Zohar. It's essentially the revelation of Hashem in our lives. Having Hashem, feeling Hashem in our lives. And I was thinking about this morning and also a few days ago that, you know, this is the ongoing dream, and aspiration that Hashem should see us, should hear us, should acknowledge us, and we can know that God exists, and we do believe Hashem exists. Of course we believe Hashem exists, and Hashem is in charge of everything. But on an experiential level, it's sometimes hard to feel it. Right? That's the struggle of life. It's hard to always feel the connectivity, the connection, and the sense that Hashem is really there for us, and really seeing us, really hearing us. So that's the struggle, to see Hashem in the darkness, and sometimes Hashem, you know, he does this deliberately in order to test us to see, are we going to see him? It reminds me of the story of the child who was, the kids who were playing in the play, you know, playing in the field, and they're playing hide and go seek. And they were playing and then one of the kids hides behind a tree, and that's his turn to hide and go and find the other kids. And then all of a sudden, then several minutes later, he comes out and he's crying. He comes out from behind the tree and he's crying. And an old man comes by and he says, what's the matter? Why are you crying? He says, well, I was playing hide and seek. He said, I was playing hide and go seek. And then eventually the noise seemed to kind of go down. I came out. They just ran away completely. They're not playing anymore. No one's there anymore. And they just left me behind the tree. And I feel like that, and that's why I'm crying. So the rabbi said, he began to cry. He says, oi, he says, if only we could get the same lesson, because that's what Hashem is doing as well. He's hiding, right? He's hiding, waiting for us to find him, and we don't find him. And we have to find Hashem, and that's the message, to always find Hashem, even though, don't be like these kids who run away. Like, we should find, always be looking for Hashem. But the looking for Hashem in the darkness is a challenge. But we sometimes wish Hashem would show his face a little bit. You know, we would like Hashem to show his face and to reveal himself, to feel that he's speaking to us, he's connected to us. And sometimes it's hard always to see that. But I think one of the messages of Lag BaOmer, if this is what this day is all about the revelation of Hashem, the light of Hashem shining in the world and revealing all of this light inside this world, but it's also about seeing the light in other people as well. The midah keneged midah, measure for measure, the more that we see the light in others, the more we see the light and we see other people for who they are, and we respect them, and we don't fall into the same trap as the students of Rabbi Akiva, not having respect for each other. The more we see others, the more Hashem will see us. The more we see others, the more we respect others, the more we give to others, the more we recognize the virtues and the qualities of another person, then Hashem will see us as well. Midah keneged measure, measure for measure. I think that's what connects all the ideas together. So this is what these are all of the events of Lag BaOmer. And then if you think now about the customs of Lag BaOmer, so the laws of Lag BaOmer are well known, because we now can take a shave, we can take a haircut, and it's always interesting, you know, that in the more Litvisha communities, there's not much more about Lag BaOmer other than the fact that we take haircuts and we can start listening to music. And also there's no Tachanun today in davening. But that seems to be the sum total in many Litvisha communities of what Lag BaOmer is. In the more Hasidisha circles, there's a lot of customs. There's bonfires, there's music, there's celebrations in Maron, places like that. And also there's a custom, right? I've seen videos of this. I have seen the kids do it. Bow and arrows. They play bows and arrows, right? Have you ever seen that? The kids will play bows and arrows on Lag BaOmer. So what is the significance? So the bonfires is understandable. It's light. It's a day of light. It's a day of divine light. Hashem seeing us, revealing his light to us seeing the light in other people. That's the light. That's the bonfires. But the bows and arrows. So the bows and arrows, the commentaries write that the bow in particular is reminiscent of the rainbow. And why is the rainbow significant? Because it's mentioned that the that on the day that Lag BaOmer, when Reshim Bar Yochai passed away, so that's when the rainbow began to come back to the world. Because the rainbow, we have to know, what's the significance of the rainbow? The rainbow is, you know, it's a beautiful sign in the sky, but it's a sign, it's a sign of God's divine wrath against the world. Hashem said that he promised not to destroy the world again. And if ever there is a din or there is a divine wrath against the world, Hashem says, don't worry. I promise not to destroy the world again, like I did with the flood. And the symbol and my indication that I'm not going to do that again is by putting the sign of the rainbow inside the sky. So therefore, that's a side note over here. When you see a rainbow, there's a halacha that A, you shouldn't stare at the rainbow. You shouldn't stare at it. You can look at it. Look at it for enough time to make a bracha. And the bracha you make is Zocha Bris, that the Hashem remembers the covenant that he promised never to destroy the world again. But it's actually not something which we're encouraged to stare at and to behold and to look at with admiration and likeness. Rather, we should recognize the wrath which is there. So look at it, make a bracha, and move on. But that's the rainbow. So the rainbow, because of the merit of Reshim Bar Yochai, he was such a righteous man, such a tzaddik that he was, his merit protected the generation. And while he was alive, there was never a need for a rainbow. Once he passed away, the merit of the generation descended, and now there was a need for a rainbow to come back once again. And therefore, to signify the fact that Reshim Bar Yochai died on Lag BaOmer, that's one of the reasons given. So therefore, kids play with bows and arrows. Not just kids; I see adults do it as well. They have they hold it. You see some rebbes; they're holding the bow and arrow to signify that this was the day that the rainbow came back to the world. There was a need for a rainbow to show that God is not going to destroy the world once again. That's one reason. But I heard this a number of years ago from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, that he gave another reason, he quoted from someone else, that also the rainbow, it's a beautiful idea, the rainbow is, you know, a rainbow only comes out when it's raining, when it's dark, when it's thundery skies, and just like a gloomy, you know, reminds me of Liverpool kind of weather. You know, rain is a tremendous bracha. For some reason, it has a negative impact on me, because it just reminds me of those rainy days in Liverpool. So anyway, but the rainbow comes out on a rainy day, on a gloomy day, cloudy day.
The sun has to come out,
but it's still on a gloomy day. Rainbows don't come out when the sun's shining bright and the sky is blue. The rainbow always comes out on a gloomy day. But it comes out on this gloomy day, and what do you see? A whole panoply of colors,
right,
of colors and beauty, and that itself is the message. That's the message of Lag BaOmer, of being able to see light even in the darkness, especially with regard to other people. Revealing light means there's darkness beforehand. There's no revelation of light unless there's darkness preceding. So therefore, the revelation of light and the exposure of color and light is what this day is all about, symbolized by the rainbow, symbolized by the bow and arrow. And also the word Lag BaOmer itself, even though Lag is Lamed Gimel, which is letters of 33. Lamed is 30, Gimel is 3, so Lag is 33. But if you take the letters Lamed Gimel and you reverse the two letters, what you get? Gal, to reveal, revelation to reveal. So this is a day of the revelation of light. And this is what we have to hold on to. This is a day of revealing the light. This is a day of connecting to the light of the Torah through learning. The light of Torah should be revealed to us more so in our lives. And it's also about revealing the light in other people as well, to respect them and not to fall into the same trap as the students of Rabbi Akiva. So may we all merit to have an uplifting Lag BaOmer. I wrote over here, in my notes over here, what I wrote over here is this. On this Lag BaOmer, let us make a little more effort to see the light in others, to respect them more so that they shouldn't feel unseen, and so we too shouldn't feel invisible and unseen to Hashem. Hashem should see us. Hashem should reveal himself to us in the merit of us respecting other people and seeing the light in other people.